Hey, hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 20. I am Jim.
And I'm Dale.
And we are those crazy Bible study guys.
And happy day to you, Jim, and everyone else. And man, episode 20, that's just mind-blowing at this moment right now. Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, man, we are committed to getting this content out twice a week. So that's apparently it. We've done it for the last 10 weeks. So.
And what's cracking me up, it's been 19 episodes and we're only on chapter 4. We're now into chapter 5.
So yeah, that's kind of how those crazy Bible study guys roll. So
That's it. Just little tidbits at a time. It's good. Awesome. Well, we are today, Matthew chapter 5. So kind of following a quick recap, I mean, Jesus has gone through and started his ministry. He's preaching through Galilee. This is after the baptism, after the temptation out in the desert. So now this is kind of getting into the famous spot. And going back to talking, I think last time we identified red letters, which are, if you have a red letter Bible, it's Jesus's words, what he's spoken. So we are actually going to get into some really big red letter words here.
Yeah, the Sermon on the Mount. This is the big one here. He's drawn a lot of people, right, with all these healings that he's doing. And one of the things we talked about in the last episode, which I thought was really cool, is just showing how those healings were physical healings. They were mental healings. They were spiritual healings, right?
Yeah.
So he is the holistic healer, right? He is the one that can make that happen. And so now that crowd is starting to build on him. So
absolutely. Yep. The tribe is starting to come around. And this is what's really cool. This is how he really shows that he relates. Not only does he relate to him, you know, to God and how he's showing God loves the world so much, but now is also more a deeper connection. So I'm excited. We're going to actually hit only 6 verses right now. We'll see how we do with time. But we're going to read chapter 5, verse 1 through 6 to kick us off. Just like you said, man, it is the Sermon on the Mount, which is also really cool. I mean, he's out in the open. That's what I think is really neat. I mean, again, the days before microphones and speaker boxes, I can only imagine how, you know, thunderous his voice was, you know, especially reaching out to a, you know, multitude of people. So pretty neat. I'm excited about this. So I do have a little note here.
Oh, go ahead. Oh, yeah. No, I was just going to say, I mean, he didn't have the stadium tours like they do today, you know, any speaker yesterday, any great speaker. And just had to do the mountainside tour here. So.
that's right. No laser light shows. But he could command lightning. So it's pretty.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Still got it. Good point. So. He could have put it on if he wanted to, right?
He could if he wants. Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. And so this is, we start on the mount here, and it's Jesus gives the Beatitudes. Now, growing up, fun fact, I aim at times dyslexic, and I read words and enunciate like a NASCAR driver. And for the longest time, I always thought that was the Beatitudes. And my wife constantly coached me, it's the Beatitudes, Dale, the Beatitudes. So let's see if we can be good with our attitudes today as we learn this. So,
hey, before you do that,
yeah,
I just had to Google it. So the Beatitudes sum up Jesus's teaching about what it means to live as a child of God's kingdom.
Ooh.
That was the simple explanation there.
I like that. Yeah, that's that. Yeah, say that one more time, just so we're all on the same page.
The Beatitudes sum up Jesus's teaching about what it means to live as a child of God's kingdom.
What it means. Okay, I like that. All right, so let's do it. 5:1-6 goes like this. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." I'm only stopping. That's halfway through. But again, a lot of meat on the bone here. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs the kingdom, for theirs is the kingdom in heaven. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, if the world was writing this, right, or the world was speaking this, it'd be bless those that are strong spiritually and great churchgoers and just doing everything right according to my word, right?
Yeah. AKA a Pharisee or a Sadducee. Yep. Yeah. One of these top religious leaders that thinks they have it all figured out. Mm-hmm.
But it's those times, right, where we are poor in spirit, where we really draw close to God, right? Sometimes out of desperation, right? Sometimes it's like, why didn't I do this at the beginning of this issue I'm dealing with? Because we kind of get kind of backed into a corner. And I mean, it'd be optimal if we did that all the time, right? As soon as something was going down, we just reach out to God and plug in there, right? And start getting his wisdom and his comfort and his peace and his direction. But if you're like me, Dale, I more times than not, I find that I plug into it when I'm kind of like backed in the corner and I'm like, why am I doing this? Why didn't I go there first? But
oh man, I mean, that's typical. I think it's probably even human nature. Like, even though I know God is the creator of all and he created me and he cares for me and obviously he sent his son to die for, for my sins and obviously the whole world, but it's one of those things where it's like, all right, God, I know you got a lot on your plate. Like, I got this one. Like, I can be a team player. I can do this one. And, I don't need your, don't worry about it. Right. Like, it's not that I don't need you. I always need you, but it's like, I got this one. I'll take one for the team and can handle that. And at the same time, it's instantly like, oh man, I needed you, God. Like you said, I should have started right from the beginning. Mm-hmm. I knew I should have asked for help. I knew I shouldn't have done this or opened that door. And I failed miserably. Yeah. Which again brings back that I really think there's something special though when we do hit that rock bottom moment or that moment where we realize, okay, the pit is a little too deep for me just to reach up and climb out on my own. I do need to ask for assistance or for new perspective. And that's where I think four follows up really well.
Yeah. Exactly.
With that, whereas blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. So again, poor in spirit, those who mourn, people who are struggling. Like if that's you today, welcome to the team. Me and Jim struggle all the time. Yep. And we struggled this morning with some technical difficult issues. And that's just the least of our worries. And that's what I think is beautiful. Like you said, man, you do not have to be 100% right and 100%, perfect position. To be able to do this, like, no, I mean, it's come as you are. And if you're broken, dirty, tired, sore, beat up, bruised, it's okay. Come. It's available to you.
Yeah. I like how, cause I never really kind of connected the dots here of everything that he's saying. And I'll be curious as we read through the whole thing, how maybe they connect more, but that problem with us, like, especially us guys, right? We're not good listeners, but we are good problem solvers. And I'm not saying that's all guys, and women aren't that way too. But the point is right, when we face a problem, we want to solve it, right? And versus getting to this point of just coming to God. So I think that's really cool, right? We're poor in spirit. Then we cry out to God here with the those who mourn. And then that blessed are the meek. So to me, where I'm kind of pulling that together too, is just that meekness of saying, we need you, God, right? It's kind of that humbleness, meekness of this is going to turn out a whole lot better. If I make you lead the show here, from the beginning here, or when you, fail and you don't bring him in till later, he still got you, right? And again, it's not that he's a magic genie and is going to make it happen how we want things to happen, But just that comfort and that peace when you know that you're crying out to God, right? And you're letting him know what's going on, and just come, join, lead, give me guidance, give me wisdom, give me direction on this.
Yeah, and I don't know, I really like this. Like, I'm not going to lie, I had to Google meek. Like, what was the real definition? Because I was starting to kind of pick that up, what you're talking about is like the poor in spirit, the mourning. Like, there's obviously a lot of brokenness, a lot of sadness, but I was like, okay, what does meek mean? Like, what's that definition? Yeah. And it's having a quiet and gentle nature, or being humble in spirit or manner. And so then I started thinking again, like the personalities, right? You have your, you know, extroverts, and then you have your introverts. Like, so like there's people who are very timid or very quiet, or just, again, just very soft spoken. Like, again, like people who are not loud and out there and obnoxious. Like, it's for anyone, like everything. And then even verse six, like those who are hungry, or, you know, who hunger and thirst for righteousness, people who are wanting the right things, the good things. I mean, it's neat that we're seeing this pattern here.
Yeah. I mean, I think I know it rhymes, so that makes it a nice thing for us, because we like to kind of try to be funny, but we know the wiser. But I think when we think meek, we think weak, right? Like you're weak. But I think personally, I think one of the greatest attributes of a person is humbleness. When you see someone humble, they're there, they're willing to learn. They're lifetime learners, right? Because they know there's more that they can learn. They kind of let their actions speak louder than their words. And it's a beautiful meekness to me is probably one of the most beautiful attributes you can have in a human being.
I like that. Yeah. It's kind of almost like when I remember my grandfather, he wouldn't say much, but you know, it's kind of one of those things that when he spoke, you really listened, kind of a humble, it wasn't always a quick answer, a quick thought. It was kind of a process, thinking it through and coming out with a really good perspective of wisdom from experience. So, man, I like that.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest issue, though. We think meek and we think weak, and it's really more about that humbleness. So thanks for man, we're giving Google a workout today.
Yeah, I mean, this is a neat pattern, and I mean, again, it just showcases, again, God's given, you know, Jesus is giving this talk. I mean, like you mentioned about like what it means to be a follower of Christ, you know, in coming into God's kingdom. Again, it's not for those who are perfect and who have done everything right and who are ready. And I don't know why I kept thinking back when we first started talking about this, you know, before I had, you know, kids, you know, before any of us probably had children, you know, again, especially working in the financial sector, it's one of those things where like, oh, I got to make sure I have enough money. Cause I mean, obviously when I have a kid, they're going to need clothes, they're going to need food, they're going to need, you know, toys, they're going to need things that, you know, maybe I'm not budgeted for. So I remember starting to stress out of, you know, like I got to have everything right, budgeted, perfect, so that I can bring a child into this world. And I remember just so many people constantly saying, if you're going to go down the path of finance before a child, you're never going to be ready. Yep. You're never going to be ready.
Yep.
And yeah, like it does. It clicked. It's like, okay, I mean, I just got to trust. I have to trust in God that we'll be okay. And maybe I sacrifice some things, you know, maybe I don't get the nice, you know, name brand cereal. I have to go with an off brand, and that's fine. But it was one of those things that I think about that and constantly was coached to don't stress out about the money, just let it be natural and everything will work out. And it did. Obviously it did. God, again, there's times in my life where I don't know how God helped us through, but we made it, and we always had enough. You know, it may not have been everything we wanted, but we had enough. And that really just resonates, because I think of all the joy, all of the moments, the memories with my son, and I only have one kid. And it's just amazing the joy that he brings in my life. which outweighs any ounce of money. And, you know, my time with him is the greatest. I absolutely love it. And so I just think about that, like, had I been so concerned with doing everything right, getting it all figured mm-hmm. out, and college already paid for before he even was in the world, I would have missed out because I never would have been prepared. I would have missed all those joys. Yep. And I think that's what Jesus is kind of slightly referencing, very smallly here. You know, it's not 100% perfect, you know, match for match, but I think he's saying, hey, come as you are and yep. you will rejoice. You will have hope, salvation, goodness. You know, you're seeking for it. You know, you're humble, you're gentle, you're hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Like, come and be filled. Like, that's what he says in verse 6 there, you know. And yeah. I don't know if that ties in or not.
No,
that's what's been on my mind today.
I think you're on the right track here, because, you know, when we go back to that definition, like you were, right? This sums up Jesus' teaching about what it means to live as a child of God and God's kingdom, right? So he's not saying, you know, be poor in spirit, but it's the heart matter, right? Again, when we look at things from a worldview versus, a heavenly or God view, you know, he's always talking about the heart matters here. So
yeah.
Someone that's poor in spirit, and it kind of goes with the meekness too, is just that I have an opportunity to grow here. I want to listen. I want to reach out. I want to come as I am, right? I don't have to figure it out. I'm coming to you as I am, and I'm going to let you work into me, because I know when I give my life to you and you work through me, I'm going to have the best possible life on this earth. It ain't going to be perfect. There's going to be a lot of hard times. He doesn't remove any of that stuff, but when you can align with his will and let him lead versus just calling out and pulling the emergency, the house is on fire thing, it makes a difference. And we kind of talked about this before, then we'll move to the footnotes, is just, you know, if you can't go all in, and I wasn't that person, I thought I went all in, but I wasn't. But just start to use certain areas of your life, like your marriage or your finances or whatever, just kind of be poor in spirit there. Mourn out to God for help. Be humble, be meek, know that you can learn, know that you can get better with that. Hunger for the righteousness in that particular situation. So
Yeah. It's basically a small step forward is what you're saying.
Yeah. Just
like when we get into the, you know, scripture and come to faith, it's not like you have to have the Bible read within the first month of being a Christian. No, it's hey, take 5 minutes, 5 minutes out of 24 hours. It's not that hard, you know, and just read a little bit, or eventually maybe take 30 minutes and listen to a great podcast about it. Sorry, shameful plug again, but, you know, but then it's like slowly build that up, and then you'll ingrain that in those steps in life. So, but yeah, it's got to start somewhere with the first step. So very cool, man.
Yeah. And, one just last note on that is that just personally what I found it, cause, I got into the whole Dave Ramsey thing. And so I'm like, all right, God, I'm going to apply your ways of handling money and stuff and your principles. And that's why I love teaching the course, because one of the great things about it is then all of a sudden the principles that you learn doing that in one area of your life, they're a lot easier to apply in another area of your life, because you kind of did an application of it, right? So, yeah. Anyways, before we go off too far on a tangent, we'll head to the footnotes. I think we've hit that, but it is a great, it's like with anything, just try it in one area, and then you can apply a lot of what you're learning there to the other areas of your life. So, hey, yeah, man, amen. I am going to give you the honor on the first footnote, because I see this is a Phileos following.
Oh, now question. Did you remember that?
I did remember. Thanks to you. I did not get the tattoo. But I did remember that thanks to you, but I still like our fast forward too, but I'm going to give you the honors on that one.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. And I want to say how much better you have retained that than I did. I had it prepped over here on Google just in case, which you're right, which was Phileos following, and following. So yeah, that's awesome that you remember that, and how shameful it is to me that I haven't.
I'm learning in this Bible study, man. I keep learning. But that one, I mean, I couldn't remember that one for 10 years. So you must have done something really powerful last time you brought that up. So
hey, that's the Lord, man. But yeah, let's check this one out. So here's what's fun about this. This is going to kind of give us a whole spectrum about the Sermon on the Mount with this footnote. So it says Matthew 5 through 7, talking about the chapters here, is called the Sermon on the Mount because Jesus gave it on a hillside near Carpathium. Said that right? The sermon probably covered several days of preaching. In it, Jesus proclaimed his attitude toward the law. Position, authority, and money are not important in his kingdom. What matters is faithful obedience from the heart. The Sermon on the Mount challenged the proud and legalistic religious leaders of the day. It called them back to the messages of the Old Testament prophets who, like Jesus, taught that heartfelt obedience is more important than legalistic observation. Or observance. I'm sorry, observance. Let me say it that way. Legalistic observance. Obviously, the coffee has not hit with me yet today, but man, like, this is really a powerful footnote. That just, I mean, think about the first off pieces. I mean, one, covering multiple days of preaching. Like, how cool would that have been to, you know, had a nice long weekend and you're sitting out here, you're by a mountain, you're probably near the sea, you know, Galilee, like, probably got nice views. Hopefully the weather's nice, not too crazy hot. And you're just listening. You're just taking in all of this wisdom in. Like, you've never, this wisdom's never been like this before. Like, you've been to maybe a synagogue and a temple and you heard some of the teachings, but I mean, this is just, you're craving this. Like, I want more. I want more.
Yeah. Like, yeah, how it awesome definitely resonated with people, right? And yeah. I mean, this was like the conference of all conferences, a 3-day conference, you know?
Yeah.
Or however many days it was. So multiple days or what have you. So, So let me kind of describe what the scene was there a little bit here in the footnote for 5:1-2. It says, enormous crowds were following Jesus. He was the talk of the town, and everyone wanted to see him. The disciples, who were the closest associates of the popular man, were certainly tempted to feel important, proud, and possessive. Being with Jesus gave them not only prestige, but also opportunity for receiving money and power. Interesting. Makes sense. The crowds were gathering once again, but before speaking to them, Jesus pulled his disciples aside and warned them about the temptations they would face as his associates. All right, that's wisdom of a great leader, right? He's foreseeing what could possibly happen here and making sure people stay in line with the mission. Don't expect fame and fortune, Jesus was saying, but mourning, hunger, persecution. Nevertheless, Jesus assured his disciples they would be rewarded, but perhaps not in this life. There may be times when following Jesus will bring us great popularity. If we don't live by Jesus' word in this sermon, we will find ourselves using God's message only to promote our personal interests. Yeah.
So one, I really like this because it does help and it does make sense in verse 2. And he began to teach them, like, he had a moment where he was just with his disciples.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he already saw, he's like, okay, guys, I mean, the fame, the fortune is going to look cool, but just be ready. Like, this is not going to be an easy road.
Yeah.
That's like you said, a very wise leader.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that happens to anyone even today, right? Is as people become to know them and their popularity and stuff, it's like the critics are going to start popping out of the woodwork and the people that don't want it to happen are going to be coming out left and right here.
But I mean, even today, like, how often does that happen? I mean, we hear all of these stories and we see a lot of these celebrities even today where they had very humble beginnings. They started off with, you know, again, a good heart, a good mind, head on their shoulders kind of a thing. But then as money, fame, fortune, power, which again kind of goes into some authority, you know, it overtakes their minds and they lose the entire perspective of who they once were. And they chase after the wrong things. And here it is, Jesus is keeping them humble from the very beginning. And that's amazing. And you know, I was thinking too, from that very first footnote, it did say too, when he was talking about his kingdom, which relates to this footnote, you know, position, authority, and money are not important in his kingdom.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting, is how that is so important here on earth. But what matters is faithful obedience from the heart. I like that.
Yeah.
Ties right into this footnote and what he's doing with these guys, of making sure it's a heart matter, not a gain matter.
Yeah, this is kind of his first discussion about the topic of money too. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, right. Already,
right.
Yeah.
Right. That one of the biggest enemies of the faith is money, right? That we cannot serve two masters is oriented around money, for the meaning there. So, all right. I got one more footnote.
Something very relatable today.
Yeah. So, I've got one more footnote I'm going to cover here before we close her down. So it's for 5:3-5. So blessed are the poor. He's going into those. Jesus began his sermon with words that seem to contradict each other, but God's way of living usually contradicts the world's. If you want to live for God, you must be ready to say and do what seems strange to the world. You must be willing to give when others take, to love when others hate, to help when others abuse. By giving up your own rights in order to serve others, you will one day receive everything God has in store for you.
And that hits hard today, because I mean, I know we're recording, but just kind of let everyone know, you know, for this episode particularly, we are in the final week as we're preparing for Easter and the resurrection. And I mean, again, that statement there at the very end, by giving up your own rights in order to serve others, that's what Christ did, you know, this week. That's what he gave up. I mean, imagine knowing you're being led, you know, to the cross. And what does he do? His last final hours, he has a meal and he gets down and washes feet and he serves and he shows that love and compassion, giving up himself for the world. Like, just, that's phenomenal.
Yeah, man, I'm gonna close this down, brother.
All right, man, let's do it.
Father God, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for our study, and I thank you for helping us to see, especially as we dive into the word, more of your view of the world versus the earthly view of the world. We thank you, too, for your grace and your comfort and your mercies. We ask and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Nice study, man. So just remember, all those listeners out there, your heart matters. Come as you are. And until next time, enjoy the gift of today.